Welcome to Enclave on Air.
I'm your host today, Jax DiEugenio. In today's episode, supported by AbbVie, we spoke with Jonathan W. Goldman, MD, about the Phase 2 Luminosity study evaluating telisotuzumab vedotin in patients with c-MET protein overexpressing non-squamous EGFR wild-type advanced non-small cell lung cancer. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Goldman discussed the evolving role of c-MET as a therapeutic target in non-small cell lung cancer, the mechanism and rationale behind using Teliso-V in MET overexpressing tumors, and key efficacy outcomes from the non-squamous EGFR wild-type cohort of the Luminosity study.
c-MET therapy has really gone through many different phases and has become more and more sophisticated. Initially, we had some naked antibodies, simple antibodies, which had some early signals, but little benefit in phase three trials. The next real success was identification of exon 14 skipping mutations. And those are quite well targeted with oral drugs, initially crizotinib and now some newer TKIs. But we're talking here about something very different. We're talking about targeting the overexpression of MET on the cell surface. The TKIs would be expected to have little or no benefit here. And instead, what these new class of drugs, antibody drug conjugates, is doing is it's using that MET as a target for bringing a cytotoxic payload to the tumor cell. This has been used recently and successfully in lung cancer, but this is early exciting days for this class of medicines. So MET is a target that is really quite prevalent. In lung cancer, when we're talking about targeted therapies, often we're talking about 10% or even 1 to 5%. MET overexpression is much more common. Even if you look at the really high degree of MET expression, you're looking at 12% or 25%, depending on how you identify it. And that is quite prevalent at initial diagnosis, but also becomes more prevalent as tumors become resistant to first-line therapy. So there we see an increase of about 10% in positivity on testing. And that MET overexpression is likely part of the explanation for resistance to the first-line therapy. And so that's why coming in at that point is appealing. It may be that we can move MET targeting earlier as well. But at this point, that was a good entry into clinical use for these drugs. Telisotuzumab vedotin is an antibody drug conjugate. The antibody is targeting an extracellular epitope of MET. Attached to the antibody are the toxic payload, MMAE. It's a cleavable linker. The DAR, the drug-to-antibody ratio, is 3.1. We think these are all important factors for the specificity of this drug. The trial, after the phase one trial, then going into a dose confirming phase two trial, the Luminosity trial had three different subgroups that were looked at. There was the EGFR mutant and the squamous cell populations. Both of those populations didn't meet the criteria for expanding study as a single agent. The non-squamous EGFR wild type group did, though. This is a Simon 2 stage design. It met its first endpoint and therefore was expanded to about 180 patients. These were patients that had one or two prior lines. Immunotherapy was approved during the course of this trial, so that was allowed as one of the two prior lines. Many of the patients, nearly all the patients, had chemotherapy and immune therapy. A very small number had TKI therapy. Otherwise, the inclusion really were based on the biomarker. This biomarker is MET overexpression by immunohistochemistry. Here we identified as a biomarker the percentage of cells that are 3+ positive. High expression is 50% or more of the cells being 3+ positive, so quite a significant expression on those cells. Intermediate is 25 to 50% of cells 3+ positive. So the primary endpoint of Luminosity was the objective response rate. In the c-MET high group, it was about 35%, so meaningfully superior to other approved agents in the second line. in the intermediate group, about 26-27%. So in the overall, I believe about 29% in that group. I think probably the most important step to think about is identifying the patients with MET testing. So that can be done on the initial specimen. It can be done on a specimen obtained at the time of progression. Many labs are now bringing this online, the antibody testing paradigm, to identify the biomarker. So a lot of the reference labs, it may be that over time, local labs also start to develop this. I think that we focus on clinical trials, but in the absence of clinical trials, a second line patient who has progressed on chemoimmunotherapy or chemotherapy, if immune therapy is contraindicated, that would be a perfect patient to look at here. We see that it is generally better tolerated than docetaxel, in my experience at least, and also a higher response rate.
Okay. Great. And then kind of circling back a little bit to safety, what should just be known about the agent safety profile?
So the antibody drug conjugates are giving us a new set of toxicities to be aware of. With an MMAE payload, we have two primary ones. One is ocular toxicities, and those have been relatively rare and relatively mild with Teliso-V, eye rewetting drops and sometimes an ophthalmology evaluation, but rarely high grade and rarely reversible. It is reversible and rarely significantly problematic. We also do see peripheral neuropathy, any grade peripheral neuropathy in about 30%, and about 10% have higher grade peripheral neuropathy. As opposed to taxane neuropathy, I have found it to be reversible though. So that is very reassuring to me and the patients. We sometimes need to take a treatment break or dose reduce when we restart. The other thing about the neuropathy is that it is cumulative. So it is patients that have been on treatment for 3, 4, or 8 months, deriving benefit that then do get some neuropathy and do require attention to it. But I found it to be manageable. And certainly if you compare to docetaxel, which also has neuropathy, is not as treatment limiting as it is with docetaxel. Certainly the next step is the confirmatory phase 3 trial, which is well underway, and would love to see the benefit confirmed in a direct comparison with docetaxel. I myself am very excited about some combination data where we showed benefit in the EGFR mutant population when given with osimertinib. So that would require confirmation in a larger trial before being clinically applied off of a trial. But I think at this time, that would be exciting to me. I think that what makes Teliso-V stand out is its specificity, the ability to identify patients that are most likely to benefit. Those patients do have to be monitored, of course, and management, particularly of the neuropathy, is necessary, but I found it to be quite manageable as a physician and for patients to keep them functional and able to do the things they want to do.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of Enclave on Air, supported by AbbVie. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.enclave.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. Enclave is also on social media. On X and Blue Sky, follow us at Enclave. On Facebook, like us at Enclave and follow our Enclave page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of Enclave on Air, please also consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thank you again for listening to this episode of Enclave on Air.